from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29 through chapter 12, verse 2.
By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness. We know who that one is, right? Became mighty in war, put rain enemies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They were wandering in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all of these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word and our understanding of that word.
Thank you, Lola. If you are a sports fan and you attend sporting events, football games, baseball games, I'm wondering how many of you guys watch the World Series. Okay. I don't know how many Houston fans we have, but anyway, I have to say that there is something so different about attending a sporting event live and in person from listening to one on the radio or watching one on television. Have you guys noticed that? What is it that is different about it? Well, Vin Scully, you've heard this sermon before. Down in El Paso. Vin Scully. It's a good one. All right, I brought along my cheering section back here. Yeah. Vin Scully, how many of you guys have heard of Vin Scully? All right, Vin Scully, great broadcaster, probably one of the greatest broadcasters in the history of sports broadcasting, and one of the most popular, for sure. Vin Scully used to say that the secret to his popularity and to his doing a good job of broadcasting sporting events on the radio was he would call the play, shut up, and let the folks listening hear the roar of the crowd. Can you identify with that? I don't know if any of you guys have ever gone to a football game up in Denver at the old Mile High Stadium. But used to be when that crowd would get going, I mean, when they would really get rocking, it would literally vibrate that place. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you've been there. You've been there. And I mean, you could feel it. It was awesome. And if the people sitting in the stands felt that, can you imagine what the Bronco players down on the field were feeling as they heard the home crowd roar? The writer of this letter, and that's what Hebrews is in our Bibles, it's a letter that was written to Hebrew Christians. And it was written to them at a time when they were going through a real struggle with their faith. And the writer, and we're not sure who wrote this, by the way. Some say that it may have been Priscilla. Some say that it was the Apostle Paul. Some say that perhaps it was one of the preachers in the early days named Apollos. But we're not sure. But the church, I believe, by the blessing of the Holy Spirit, has agreed over the ages that Hebrews is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the writer, whoever he or she was, uses this metaphor of the roar of the crowd to encourage the Hebrew believers in their faith. Now, question might be, were they struggling with their faith in God, or were they struggling with their faith in themselves? Well, I believe in order to really have faith in ourselves, we've got to have faith in God. What do y'all believe? And I believe that when our faith in God falters, our faith in ourselves falters as well. I had a veteran stand up just a few moments ago. And one of the things that I've been reminded of this past week was my time in military service. And I have a nephew right now who's at Parris Island, South Carolina. And my sister is just worried to death and excited to death at the same time, you know. But he's going through Parris Island. And I remember my time in Parris Island. And she and I have kind of emailed a little bit back and forth the last day or two. And one of the things that I mentioned to her is that while I was in Parris Island, I gained some values. There were some values that were formed in me. Maybe I should say that. Probably to me, some of the most important values that I have and that I still try to live into. Now, they are not values that are different from the values that I was taught at home, not values that are different from the values that I was taught in church growing up, but they were they were emphasized a little differently and, of course, in more colorful language to me. And one of those values, and you may have heard this, you may not know what it means, but it was gung-ho. How many of you guys have heard gung-ho before? Gung-ho, a lot of times we think, well, that just means excited. That just means really on fire. But really what gung-ho means, literally, the term means teamwork. Teamwork. There's another one that I learned too, semper fidelis. And every time a couple of Marines run into each other, You know, he's a Marine, she's a Marine, a WM. You speak to one another, that's kind of how you greet one another, semper fi. And the response is, like we said, peace be with you. Marines have kind of a liturgy like that too, only it's not peace be with you. It's semper fi. And what does that mean, by the way? Always faithful. And the response would be, what? Semper fi. Always faithful. And I, as far as faith in myself is concerned, I came out of boot camp with a lot more confidence than I had when I went in, and a lot more confidence than I had many of the days that I was there. But much of the confidence that I had was not just because of me, but it was because of the team that I had become a part of. One of the things that we were taught was that being a Marine is not an individual sport. And may I say that being a human being, my friends, being a Christian, being a child of God is not an individual sport. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something right now. It's a little liturgy that I like. I ask the congregation sometimes if they will agree, if they're able to agree and do it in good conscience by saying amen. Being a child of God is not an individual sport. Can you say amen? All right. See, did you hear the roar of the crowd? Now see how good that is? What that does is it instills confidence in the one who is performing. saying amen to a preacher is, I used to hear an old preacher years ago I listened to by the name of Cecil Todd when I was a kid growing up. And Cecil used to say, saying amen to a preacher is just like saying, sick 'em to a bulldog. Can I get an amen? All right. Well, that's what this writer is talking about. It's talking about the roar of the crowd. And the Hebrew writer reminds them of their cheering section. And I think it's a good thing for us to remember we've got a cheering section every once in a while. And he points not to the people around him at that present moment, because I think in that particular time, I think that whole church was discouraged. Have you ever been a member of a church where everybody was discouraged? Sometimes that happens. Everybody gets down. Thank God that doesn't happen in my marriage. Usually when I'm down, Lola's up, and when Lola's down, I'm up. And that's good, isn't it? Yeah, you betcha. She can show me where the verse is supposed to be and all that kind of stuff. And not just in the Bible, but she can give me a book, chapter, and verse about a lot of things. But he points them to the past. He points them to their history. It's kind of like in America. Do you think in America we have a cheering section of those who may have gone on before us as Americans? A lot of times in our world today, right and left, and we live in polarized times, and I think we need to pray about that. I'm not going to ask for an amen there, but I think we'll all agree that's something we need to pray about in this nation, is the polarization among us. But in these polarized times, both right and left ends of the spectrum politically point back to our founding fathers. And I think it is good for us to look back to those founding fathers and be reminded of the dream that those founding fathers had as they put together the documents that we look to guide us. To think about the dream that they had for us today in this nation. I went to Washington, D.C. a few years ago. I have a son who lives there, and I used to work for a company that was based in Richmond, Virginia, and every couple of years they would fly us back to Richmond for kind of a big celebration meeting, a big cheering meeting. It was almost like an Amway rally, you know. Can you imagine an Amway rally for psychotherapists? What would that be like? But I would go up to D.C., you know, all from Richmond, and I would visit with my son, and Lola got to go with me a couple times. And we toured, and I remember going around, and I hadn't been there since I was a little boy the first time we went back, and I hadn't been there since I was about 11 years old. And we went to the monuments. We went to, you know, all of those places you go to, President Kennedy's grave, the Eternal Flame, and the Lincoln Memorial, and the Jefferson Memorial. And as I went to those different places, Arlington Cemetery, and I read the inscriptions, and I was reminded of the dream that this nation was founded on, I was reminded we are not perfect. We have not always gotten it right, but we have good, solid roots. And it's important for us, I believe, to remember those roots. And in these days that are hard in our country, and these are tough times, I think it would be important for us to remember what this writer to the Hebrew believers says. Remember that great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. You know, Jefferson and Lincoln and Madison, and you know, you can go to Broadway and see the play, I guess, but you know, see all of those and remember them and remember their hearts and their dreams. And as we had our veterans stand today, that represents also the dreams and the commitment that has gone into our working and our continuing to be committed to the dream that this country was founded on coming true. And I believe that much of the dream that America was founded on really and truly is a dream that is very compatible with the dream of God for all humanity and for the world. And I'm not trying to say that we're greater than anybody else, but I'm just using this as an illustration for us. I think we need to be reminded of that cloud of witnesses. What do you think? Do you? Is that a good idea? I'm fishing for an amen here. But my friends, he's not writing about, you know, about their commitment to their nation. He's writing to them about their faith in God. And they were struggling with their faith in God. And they were struggling with their faith in themselves. And I believe any nation that's going to be great needs to be a nation with people in it who are praying and people who are looking to a higher power for their strength and for their gifting and for their leadership. And I wondered as I read this, who's in my stands? Now, I just told you who I think maybe are in our stands as Americans. Go back to Jefferson, Lincoln, and some of those. But I wondered who's in my stands. And I'd like for you to think with me just a minute as you think about your own personal life. This great cloud of witnesses, and Paul is writing about people who've already gone on, people who are not physically here anymore, but people who have been encouragers for us in our lives. Who would be in your cheering section? And I'm going to ask you to take just a moment, and I don't know if you've got a pen. I think you've probably got some paper there, maybe, that you can write on. It's okay. It's not sacrilegious to write on the church bulletin, is it? Is that okay? You know, it's okay to take notes. It's okay to write some things down. And I'm going to ask you, as I continue to talk, if you would just take a minute, and actually I'm going to be quiet for just a minute, and I want to give you just a minute, who would be in your cheering section? Who are some of those that have gone on already and they have been encouragers to you in your life? Maybe when nobody else was an encourager. Maybe when nobody else saw hope for you or saw, what's the word, potential in you. Who encouraged you, and who is there that their witness is still alive and glowing in your life that can keep you still going if you go back and you begin to remember? Just take a minute. Some of you will write, and some of you will just take mental notes, and it's okay. And just don't go to sleep. Okay. Okay, I see some of you are going back in time. You're traveling, and that's good. The Apostle Paul, you know, he wrote to a young preacher by the name of Timothy, and he reminded him of his cheering section. He reminded Timothy of his mother, Lois, and his grandmother, Eunice. Reminded Timothy of their faith, and Timothy was a young preacher going through a hard time. Alice Miller is a writer who writes about the problem that we have oftentimes with domestic violence and with cruelty in our lives, in our culture. And she writes about children, young people who suffer from domestic violence or who suffer from trauma and abuse in their lives. And she's a researcher, and she says that those that she studied, what she's learned in her and her team's research is that the people who get beyond it, who get past it, that they get past it because there were people in their lives, teachers, coaches, music teachers, maybe a dentist, maybe a doctor, maybe an uncle or an aunt who saw something in them and who encouraged them and who lit a fire in them that keeps burning in spite of the fact that others had put them down and others had broken them and others had pushed them to the point of almost no return. Steve Haley works with domestic violence offenders, and Steve Haley preaches. He's not a preacher, but he is a preacher. He preaches that one of the things that's important in those who are domestic violence offenders recovering, and domestic violence offenders recover, and they go on, and they can move forward with their lives. But Steve Haley says one of the things that makes a difference is helping them to remember those people in their lives that have been just like the ones that I'm talking about, their cheering sections. Steve Haley and Alice Miller call these enlightened witnesses. For me, one of them would have been my mom. I'm like Timothy. I was raised without a father, as I think Timothy probably was too, and my aunt who helped raise me. I was raised by two strong women, and I want to tell you, they were strong women. And they made a difference in my life. My granddaddy, even though I didn't have a father, I had a granddaddy. And when you read what Lolo just read a few moments ago, when you look at it carefully, you will see that there are not just fathers and mothers listed here. There are grandparents who are listed, like Isaac and Jacob, who looked afar to the future, and they blessed their children even when they were old, leaning on their staff, leaning on their cane, brother. Can you have a cane and it be hard to walk and you still be a blessing? Can you? Sure you can be. My granddaddy was in my life, and he still is today. He's part of my cheering section. I had an uncle, David Presley, who was very much the same. I had another uncle, several uncles. And I had some aunts also. And I had some teachers. My fifth grade teacher, Mr. Justice, first time I ever made straight E's. What does that stand for? Boy, I'm up in years. Excellent. Yeah, then we had S's. What was S for? Satisfactory. Some of you guys know this stuff? There are people in here as old as I am. Oh, no, and then there were those U's. No, let's not go there. But at least it was above an F, right? But the first time I ever had an E was in the fifth grade, first time I ever had a man as a teacher. We need more men to teach. And if you can encourage men to go into the teaching profession, I'd say do that. Do that. Because that great cloud of witnesses is out there today, and they're not with us anymore for many of us. But listen to me, we still need some witnesses who are breathing and alive and in the classroom today. We've got a young man today who's a teacher down at First Christian Church in El Paso. His name is David Phillips. And I love David because David is Latino, and David speaks fluent Spanish, and I need a translator about every 15 minutes in El Paso. But David is a teacher, a math teacher, and he is such a wonderful teacher, such a wonderful mentor in the classroom, and we need more David Phillips. Some of you may not be ready to change careers today, but many of us have influence over young people to become teachers. My junior boys Sunday school class teacher, Ruby Farmer, she lit a fire in me for God. Her husband, Earl Farmer, he was the one who took me to Bible college and introduced me to the college and got me started on my education in the Bible years and years and years and years ago. Who did you write down on your list? What did they do in your life? What difference did they make, and what difference are they making? And would it make a difference today if you would once again tune your ears into the roar of the crowd? Do you believe there is a roar? I think we've got to tune our hearing in a little bit. This morning, I left the house, and as typical with my ADHD, I forgot something. And my partner in ministry back there, she went back and got my hearing aids for me. Because I need those. And amen? Amen. Can I get a witness? Yes. Can I get a witness, brother? Yes. Yes. You bet. And sometimes we just need to put our hearing aids on so that we can hear the roar of the crowd. So we can strip down. And you know, I could preach here for another half an hour, but I know you're ready to go. I know you are. I was trying to get you to say preach on, but no. Strip down and run the race that has been set before us, and to set our eyes on Jesus, who is the originator, the trailblazer of our race, and who is the one who's finished it and who is finishing it with us, helping us to finish it. We want to be like him. Come on. That's what they're cheering us for. And that's not just about our Sunday life. That's not just about what we would refer to maybe as the, you know, don't cuss and don't drink and don't chew and don't kiss girls who do kind of stuff. But it's about choosing to believe enough in God's kingdom and God's dream for humanity to get involved and get invested in life. To be teachers like David Phillips, and like my friend back there, Nate, who's a coach down at UTEP, and like his dad before him, who was a coach. And, you know, isn't it cool? We've got the original, you know, coach, and we've got the sequel here today. And both of these guys have made a difference in young people's lives, young men's and young women's lives. And that's what Jesus calls us to. And we say, oh, I don't have anything to give. Oh, but there was somebody in your life sometime that saw that you did and that you do. And I hope that you'll hear that call. And I hope that whatever it is that's holding you back, whether it's being older or whether it's being a little debilitated in some fashion, whatever it is that you may think is holding you back, you'll strip it off, lay it aside. Maybe it's something that you think is a sin that makes you ineligible now. Just know that that's all washed away and covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he calls you now, whether it's domestic violence or whether it's just something ridiculous that you did, he calls you now to move forward and to live a life like him, to love like him, to pray like him, to rest like him, to forgive like him, to listen like him to others.
As a place to lay its head, so why would I let worry steal my breath? Even the roses you have clothed in brilliant red, still I'm the one you love more than this. You give me everything. You give me everything. You give me everything I need. Ooh, oh, ooh, oh, ooh, oh. Even the oceans push and pull at your command, so you can still my heart with your hand. You tell the seasons when it's time for them to turn, so I will trust in you even when it hurts. You give me everything. You give me everything. You give me everything I need. You give me everything. You give me everything. You give me I can't see you lead me, when I can't hear you show me, when I can't stand you carry me. When I am lost, you will find me. When I am weak, you are mighty. You are everything I need. You give